Good morning. Hello. All right, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, King David was old and advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. And so his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm." So he searched for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him, but the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before them. And his father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. And he had conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and followed Adonijah, they helped him. But Zadok, the priest, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, Nathan, the prophet, Shimeah, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside En-Rogel. And he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? So now come, please, let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'Have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Behold, while you are still speaking, or there's speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words.'" So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king. And the king said, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "My lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, 'Surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' And now behold, Adonijah is king. And now, my lord the king, do you not know it? And he has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar, the priest, and Joab, the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon, your servant. And as for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come about as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders." And behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Then Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar, the priests, and behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? And have you not shown to your servants who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Then King David answered and said, "Call Bathsheba to me." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king vowed and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely I have vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, 'Your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day.'" Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground, prostrated herself before the king, and said, "May my lord King David live forever." Then King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada." And they came into the king's presence. And the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel, and blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered and said, and the king and said, "Amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, As the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and may his throne, throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, Long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook with their noise. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it, and they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Why is the city making such an uproar? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. Then Adonijah said, Come in, for you are a valiant man, and bring good news. But Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, No, our lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and have come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is a noise which you have heard. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our lord King David, saying, May your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. The king has also said thus, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today, while my own eyes see it. Then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they rose and each went on his way. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he rose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will be a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, Go to your house. Amen. So we're starting 1 Kings, but if you go back to the original, the Septuagint, and then the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, this is actually 3 Kings. And so Samuel actually would have been 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and now we're dealing with 3 and 4 Kings. But somehow when the translations came out, they saw fit to name it after Samuel for some reason. Most likely, the source of authorship is a little shaky, but most likely they believe it was a prophet that wrote this. Because you don't have a thorough historical chronology that's here. In fact, some of the really important kings like Jeroboam the second is hardly mentioned here. And then you have minor people like Josiah who's mentioned. And most likely the scholars believe that the reason why they're doing that is because they are not writing a purely historical work. Because if that was happening, those historical writers would be very afraid to write about the sins of David and Solomon and all these things happening. And so most believe there was some prophet who had some credibility to share. And so these passages are actually, there's a spiritual message behind it. And spiritual message is really simple. In fact, you could find it on the end of chapter 1. This is the basic idea. Verse 52. So he's talking about his brother here, Adonijah. If he be a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So this is the spiritual message. If you obey God and you follow his commandments, there's great blessing. If you do not obey God and follow his commandments, you're going to die. In other words, there will be calamity that comes upon you, undoubtedly. So if you obey the commandments, you keep the Sabbath, you obey the law, blessing will flow in your life. And this is through every king. Also inlaid in this is also a reverence for the temple worship. Now, if you don't do that, then rest assured that life is going to be very, very difficult for you, and you may end up in captivity, you may be running, you know, all kinds of things would happen. And that also goes with David himself. If he obeys the Lord and he follows his commandments, great blessing flows in his life. If not, calamity is going to hit. And thus, remember the last chapter of 2 Samuel, that's what he does. He goes and he does something that is grieving to the Lord, and calamity hits. And so that's the central spiritual message. God blesses the king and the nation when they keep the covenant. His judgment falls with inevitable certainty on those who disobey his law. It's a very simple, and that's the primary message of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, or 1 through 4 Kings, if we follow the old pattern and tradition. And so that's the idea here. So we are introduced now to King David, and most likely he's about 70 years old at the time, and his health is failing. We know his health is failing because his body cannot regulate the proper temperature, so he's unable to keep warm. And so he's having all kinds of health issues at this time. And probably, I know this is fairly a young, well, not young age, but you know, you imagine all the wars and the battles and things that he's gone through, that's created a tremendous wear and tear on his body. And so his body is not able to keep the heat as it normally should. Now, listen. I understand this because as I get older, it's the same thing. I get so cold at night. You know, even these days in the summer, I know it's getting warmer right now. You know, I still use a really thick down blanket, and I'm getting old, man. And my body, when I sleep, cannot regulate the heat that I used to as a young man. And it's very interesting how this works. So we recognize that David is old. You know, I'm not that old, but I'm feel where David's at right now. But this is how unhealthy he is. Even with blankets and everything, he's still not able to regulate heat. So they bring him a Shunammite that comes in. By the way, this picture is very connected to the Song of Solomon. We'll see later on when Solomon also marries a Shunammite, and we have that whole drama. So it's kind of interesting foreshadowing that's happening. So she comes, and she's not a concubine per se, because he doesn't cohabit with her, but she takes care of him. And so all this is to say that this is the state where David's at. And so the woman's not that important, all this stuff, but the writer is just basically letting us know that this is he's in bad, bad health. Then Adonijah, who's this really handsome young man, and he's also the brother of Absalom. Remember Absalom? And so he comes and he decides, oh, this is my opportunity. I'm going to be the king. Now, he's not necessarily wrong in doing this. Well, he's wrong in the sense that he didn't ask his father's permission. You know, he didn't get that. But he is the eldest son right now. So he is, if David dies, according to their tradition, as the eldest son, he would garner this place. But we know that he has some wickedness in his heart, because he does not invite Nathan, the prophet. He doesn't invite Zadok. He doesn't invite Solomon. He doesn't invite the mighty men. And so we know that he is being very scrupulous here, and he goes to the priest. He goes to Joab, and already understanding that Joab already has issues with David through this, and he's not necessarily scheming, but he's being very clever, if you know what I mean. And so, obviously, this offends Nathan. And so Nathan goes before Bathsheba, and because rightfully so, if Adonijah becomes king, according to the ancient tradition, most likely he gets rid of Solomon. And so Nathan is preserving Solomon's life in a way. And there must have been some talk, and we don't really see it here, but there must have been some talk, because even David says, I've sworn to you that your son Solomon. So most likely Nathan, being the prophet and the closest confidant to David, probably was aware of that, and so he goes to Bathsheba. And Bathsheba goes before him and says, hey, did you give Adonijah permission to do this? Because they're saying that he's the king. And so David is like confused. What? He doesn't understand what's going on. And so then Nathan comes in and says, yep, this is true. He's the king. Lord, David, did you give him permission? And obviously he didn't. And so David is upset. He calls all these men into the place. And these were have been his faithful men. Even the Keretites and the Pelethites. Remember, these guys were the ones that were guarding. And so they come in and they anoint Solomon. And one of the ways they do that is they give him the king's mule. You know, there's many mules in the kingdom, but there's one particular mule that if anyone sat on it, actually they would die. But they're now giving permission for Solomon. And that basically tells everybody, this is his person. And even David rejoices and says, wow, what a blessing. I get to see the next king even with my own eyes. And so that happens. So Solomon is anointed king over Israel. And we could tell the people are very, very excited and happy about this because it says they're rejoicing. The earth shook. It shook so much that many, many miles away you have Adonijah, and they hear, Joab says, what is this roar that I hear? And obviously Jonathan comes and shares the story, and every single one of them, they can read the writing on the wall. Oh my goodness, our plot has been found out. We are guilty of committing an insurrection. And so they're all terrified. They all go to their place, and Adonijah does something very interesting. And this is what I want to focus on for the next 5 minutes or so. He goes and he prostrates himself before the horns of the altar. This is the place of mercy. This is the place of the mercy seat, and not the mercy seat as we see in the Holy of Holies, but this is a place where the enemies, friends and others could plead their cause and really cry out for mercy and seek to be withheld from punishment that they deserved. That's basically what mercy is. You don't get what you deserve in that regard. And so they come to this place, and obviously we know what Solomon said. Well, if you live a good life, if you're worthy, you'll live. In other words, if you don't cause any trouble, you do what you're supposed to, you're fine. But if you don't, right, then you will surely die. Again, the theme of really the whole 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings laid out there. In other words, it's up to us how we live our life. Every single one of us, you have a choice of how you're going to live your life. You can live your life by serving the Lord, or you can live your life by serving yourself. You can live your life giving glory to God, or you can live your life giving glory to yourself. You can obey the commandments, or you can do whatever you want to do. Now, one way you live your life leads to life and prosperity and joy and all these things, and another way of living your life leads to death. And that's really how this whole thing is laid out here. And we have, obviously, Adonijah kind of does a wise thing. He knows he messes up, but he goes to the horns of the altar. This is very reminiscent of Hebrews. If you want to turn your Bible there, Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read from verse 14. He says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. It's the same idea. It's the same concept. You messed up. You did something wrong. He says we run to the throne of grace. Now, notice there's a few reasons why we do that. One, Adonijah must have known something about Solomon's character to the point where if he threw himself at his mercy, he believed that Solomon would help him. Otherwise, he would have never done it. I mean, you would never throw yourself at the mercy of someone that is bloodthirsty and wants to kill you. You guys understand what I'm saying? So there must have been something about Solomon in their growing up that reassured him that he would give him mercy. In that same way, that when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows our frailty. He understands what we've been going through. He understands the weight of sin. And really, a lot of this is really pointing to the 3 hours that was hanging on the cross, where he felt all the weight of sin. He felt all the consequences of sin when darkness covered the earth. And so he understands what it means to be caught in the grip of sin, even though he had never committed sin himself. The consequences of sin were pressed upon him. He knows what it feels like to have lied and have cheated and killed someone and committed adultery and all these things. Even though he didn't do it, he understands what that feels like and the grip and the pain of that. And so we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He's been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and might find grace to help in time of need. You know what the enemy usually tells people when they're caught in the grips of sin? God's abandoned you. God's not going to listen to you. God's not going to forgive you. God's not with you. God is so far away from you. I mean, the enemy always, and he doesn't whisper, he shouts those things in our ears. And he said, God has forgotten about you. God will never forgive you. You did this again. You told him the last time you wouldn't do it again, and you did it again. Forget it. God's not going to forgive you. But yet the Bible tells us that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. He's experienced all these things, so let's run to the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Brothers and sisters, when we mess up, let's be like Adonijah. Let's not mess up like Adonijah, but when we have messed up, let's grab the horns of the altar. Let's run to the king, not Solomon, King Jesus. Let's run to the king who understands what we're going through, and not only understands what we're going through, but also comes to help us in our time of need. It's interesting that most people, when they're caught in the grips of sin, they run away from God. And what they need to do is they need to run to God. And he's the only one that can help them. He's the only one that we can throw ourselves at, and he will receive us. That's why he's an amazing king, an amazing savior. So let's close our eyes. Now, I'm hoping that most of us here are not wrapped up in the throes and the grip of sin. But maybe you know somebody that's been backslidden. You know someone that's not walking with the Lord anymore. Let's pray that the enemy's voice will be drowned out. God doesn't love you anymore. You can't ask him for forgiveness again. You failed him last time. You said you wouldn't. You broke your promise. And instead of listening to the shouts of the devil, let them listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit that says, come home. Now, if you're caught in the grips of sin, run to the throne of grace. If there's anyone that you throw yourself at the mercy of, man, it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
So faithful a friend to so loving a King, Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin. Open up the gates of hell and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed, of the debt of love that is owed, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
And let's pray today. If you need to run to the throne of grace, please do this morning. If you need to intercede for one of your friends or house church members, that they would turn and run to God instead of away from God, please do. Maybe we need to make an assessment of our life. You know, are we obeying the Lord and His commandments and thus inviting blessing into our lives, or are we turning away and inviting judgment? Let's pray. Let's go to our prayers as a community, and let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancer, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for spiritual touch. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's lift up our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's go to our mission prayers and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's ask God to touch our leaders and to really use them in a powerful way. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival to hit this city. Lift up all the churches and our friends. Let's pray for SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church. And let's continue to pray for the Hong Kong students that are even contemplating suicide right now. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us as we seek the Lord every day, as we pray for the church, and as we watch, ask the Lord to watch over our families. Today is Pastor Mary's birthday, so wish her a happy birthday when you get a chance. And if we could pray for Pastor Nate and Monica, particularly Joel. He's got another high fever again. Let's pray that God would heal him. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, and let's pray for welcoming and barista. Let's pray that God would just bless our leaders and our volunteers, and they would really be used to create a very welcoming atmosphere here at SP. Let's pray for our worship and sound ministries and the AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship and excellence in everything they do. Well, let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word this morning, God. And thank you that when we obey you, God, when we follow after you, Lord, a blessing inevitably flows. On the flip side, God, when we don't obey you, God, when we don't follow the commandments, Lord, an inevitable judgment, God, also falls. And so we ask, Lord, that we'd be a people, a church, God, families, Lord, that honor you, God, and run hard after you. Just watch over us, Lord. And when we do make mistakes, and we inevitably will, God, let us run to the throne of grace. Lord, let's grab the horns of the altar, even as Adonijah did, Lord. God, help us to run after you instead of listening to the voice of the enemy that says, run away from you. God, we thank you, Lord. Watch over us. Watch over our community today, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.